the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Welcome back, if you're on video, to the Clown World News segment brought to you by EasyDNS and Bull Bitcoin. Post your content, buy your Bitcoin. EasyDNS, Bull Bitcoin.
Yeah. So
first off, I have a Clown World story fan submission today.
Oh, you know what? Go ahead.
You want to start with it?
Okay, yeah, fan submission. How can I say no to this?
This is from Pauly Tremonte. I think he's in the chat.
Oh, thank
actually.
You, Pauly.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I hope. Can we watch the whole thing? We probably can't watch the whole thing. We'll watch a little bit of it. It's 5 minutes long. It's a video he sent me on the future of Canadian housing. It's pretty good. Pretty solid stuff here. You'll like it. I do. When you guys send us stuff for Clown World, I have, you know, Len and I always look at it. We consider it every week. And don't forget that we're probably looking at a lot of the same stuff too. So, all right. You ready? LFG. Here we go.
Welcome back to Moose on the Loose. My name is David. Today I'm going to be showing you guys some tiny houses.
Pause this, Joy, because we're going to get the strike from this just by posting it.
Okay, so I'll tell you right now, this is a video, Future of Canadian Housing, and it's about shed homes, Len. No comment. No further comment required.
Well, what can we say? We talked about this in the past.
Go watch the video. That I saw a video on Instagram today too, probably because I watched this video on my phone about this girl who's like talking about how she just bought a place in Toronto. She really likes it. It's 8 feet wide. She's like going like this, and it's only like another foot on either side of her fucking arms. It's crazy what people are living in, man. Like, oh, what's going on?
Well, if you think that if there's going to be malnutrition moving forward so people can't buy food, if you look what happened with malnutrition in North Korea, people tend to be smaller and stratcher.
So
from an 8 foot house side to side, you can now have it maybe 7 feet.
You think the reason that mac and cheese is only shipping 200 gram boxes now instead of 250 gram boxes is so I can live in my shed home?
It could be that's the long-term plan.
Oh, my God.
You got to map this out, and there might be some validity to
map
this.
Map it out, he says. Let's do the SWOT analysis. How do we got to get this, get the whiteboard up. Get the whiteboard.
Joey. So,
Pauly, thank you for that submission. I enjoyed the video. You guys should check that out if you haven't already. It's pretty funny.
Joey, the U.S. labor market, right? We always poke fun at the revisions with respect to the labor market, right?
Department of Downward Revisions. Yeah.
That's the new fucking name, because 10 of the last 11 job reports, 10 of the last 11 have been revised lower. What does this tell us? Well, the reports they initially release is fucking bullshit. Yeah. Right? These revisions, it's not some small adjustment. It just, you know, just a little bit here. No, man, these in aggregate, this is 25% lower. This is a huge fucking miss. And of all the job gains in 2023 in the United States, all the job gains over there, 25% can be attributed to government.
Love it.
As their government jobs.
That's high. That's probably about where we are, right? We are
higher than that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you look at historically, this is the highest percentage, the 25% attributed to government jobs. It's the highest percentage since 2007. So it's been a long time since we had this high level of job creation strictly from the government. And here it gets really bad, because part-time jobs, this is for the month of December, are up 762,000. But full-time jobs are down 1.5 million for the month of December. Think about that. 1.5 million full-time jobs lost.
Yep.
But 762,000 part-time jobs have been created. Is this an economy that's flourishing? No.
Bidenomics.
But this is an election year. Man, buckle up. This is going to be fucking fun to watch.
So you saw today, Len, that the White House is actually having meetings with popular media outlets to talk about the way that they're reporting on the Biden economy and telling them where they feel they, quote unquote, are falling short in reporting the full story. The New York Times was criticized for talking too much about the crisis at the border as well, and not talking about the, you know, quote, inflammatory language that Donald Trump's been using at rallies. The problem that the Biden administration is having is not unique to the Biden administration. The problem they're having is that they're the first administration to lose control of media. And I think that, you know, we may be being unfairly hard on him and his cronies there, his lackeys, the low IQ clown show, clown car that rolls out there every week, you know, driven by cringe Jean-Pierre. Every day she gets on that podium, just makes a complete ass of herself. She can't help it. I think the problem that they're having is not specific to their policies though, Len. I bet you if we had moved any administration into this environment, media environment, they'd be getting filleted the same way that these guys are, because they just don't have any control over what gets posted and what gets printed and what gets screenshotted. The data is available. People are looking at it. The average person now, I've said this many times, the average person now knows what inflation is. They know about the jobs report. They know about all this data that used to be spun in a way that made it look like the outlook was positive. But Len, if you think about the last 20 years, how has life been going for most people? Has it been getting better or has it been getting worse? It's been getting worse. Everyone has felt like this. It's just that before, you just look on TV and it's a rosy picture, right? You get kind of psyop, brainwashed, and thinking everything's fine, everything's good. And if there is a problem, it's your fault, which you've also talked about on the show, the problems that causes in society and families, schools, all sorts of different places. But now everyone is suddenly wearing the same jersey, and it's not, you know, necessarily one of a political affiliation. It is one of class affiliation. And I think a lot of people are finding that they are in a much broader class of people than they thought 10 years ago. Left and right is slowly disappearing. You've seen that, by the way, even in the politicians that the left and right are choosing. You know, Ramaswamy, Vivek Ramaswamy, Trump, DeSantis, these guys, whether you like them or hate them, are all talking a similar book. It's about the elite against everybody else. And more people are seeing that. And the way that that playbook was allowed to proliferate for so long was because the narrative control was on point. It was, you know, to be envied by the most dictatorial governments around the world. Those times are gone now. And there's really no doubt about that. You can see the target they painted on Elon's back. So whether it's the Department of Downward Revisions or CPI or hedonic adjustments or, you know, Biden getting a fake booster in a fake White House office in front of a press gallery that, you know, is pretending that it's a window to the outdoors when it's really just a painting. This stuff is all coming apart at the seams, right? You're kind of in your Wizard of Oz moment. The question is, what are Dorothy and the boys going to do when they get to the wizard? We're getting danger close to that, I think. That moment. And I don't know. I get the feeling it's not going to be a happy ending. Honestly, Len, like the election, I think, is going to be absolutely insane. Neither side's going to accept the result. And people will point to, again, like if you want your democracy to be legitimate, you have to be legitimate at different checkpoints along the way. And, you know, people are going to point to stuff like the jobs revisions. And they're going to say like, well, you made up this number 11 times out of the last 12 to make it look like we're in a technical recession. You changed the definition of recession. You're harping on New York Times and WAPO to report more kindly about your economic failures and low IQ clown show. Why wouldn't you lie about this too? Why wouldn't you cheat here too? And they don't have an answer for that, unfortunately. So I know I kind of went far afoot there, but there's a lot going on, man, that people are now just sort of seeing for the first time, and it's available to everybody, right? Whether you're a homeless guy or a basement podcaster, you got a cell phone, you got a data plan, and you can see the stuff. It's all available for you. First time in history. So again, not to let Biden and you know, whoever else off the hook, but I think you could put almost any government, no matter how historically successful and popular, into this environment, and they'd have a fucking hell of a time, honestly.
Joy, I have a story from Bloomberg, and they are talking about the second largest pension fund in the United States. So this is, you know, fairly significant. This is the California State Teachers Retirement System.
CalPERS.
Again, not some small-time operation. This is the second largest pension fund in the United States. Mm-hmm. So put this in perspective here. Well, this pension fund, they need to borrow some $30 billion for liquidity. as they don't want to sell off the assets they do have at fire sale prices. And if they do go ahead with this borrowing of the $30 billion, that will represent about 10% of their overall portfolio, which currently stands around $318 billion. I would suggest for them, they should probably get in touch with Swan Bitcoin and get in touch with their trading program. Maybe they could turn that $30 billion into fucking kilos. But anyways, for a fucking pension plan to go out there and borrow money, this is going to end poorly. Not only that, they have already added 5% leverage back in 2021. They're fucking leveraging their fucking the pension itself. If there's a drawdown, a massive drawdown in the stock market, that leverage is going to get wiped out. This borrowing that they're now going to have to, just for liquidity purposes, if you have to borrow to keep the lights on, it's not a viable business. I know this isn't truly a business per se, it's a pension fund, but it's unsustainable. If they have to borrow $30 billion today, what's going to happen when they have to borrow $50 billion the next day and $100 billion the next? This thing's going to go tits up. And who's this going to impact? The teachers in California, which are hoping to have this at the end of the day when they finish their job, retire, and then collect from this pension. It's no longer going to be there. So you're going to have a group of people, a class of people over there that were hoping to have a nice retirement. It could potentially be fucked just because, well, everything is getting fucked over. These guys are doing a poor job at managing this pension fund. From my personal opinion, buy some Bitcoin, add it to the balance sheet. You'll be much better off. So yeah, this is fucking pathetic. Pension funds, we've been talking about this for the past while, that this is something that's going to be going, you know, it's going to be impacted because of the bad economy. And here it is, second largest pension fund in the United States. This is not going to look good in the next little while. In fact, I suspect the next few years, we're going to hear some really bad news from them. And who's going to be impacted, like I said? The fucking teachers, unfortunately. You can say what you want about them. These are people who are just working. They're hoping to get a, you know, a paycheck at the end of the day.
Yeah, so you know what caused this sudden, I don't know how sudden it was, but you know what caused the need to borrow, right?
They say it's for liquidity.
Well, it's for liquidity, but it's part of a commercial real estate problem they're having that probably a lot of pensions in the States are having, and maybe even pensions here if I had to guess. They need that support to prop up. I can't remember where I read this. I'm trying to find it. I think it was maybe Martin Pelletier. I forget how to say his last name. Talking about how this is not necessarily like a death knell or a real problem for a pension. It really depends on what they're doing with the money once they get it.
You're borrowing.
It's not even, it's leverage. So it's like they're borrowing against, like, you know, assets, right? It's one thing to borrow. It's like, it's a bad situation.
Yeah.
Right? Like yeah. It's
I don't care how you borrow it. If it's out of the blue line of credit, a borrow
is there a situation to ensure that where you
keep the fucking operation going?
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to know, like, again, like we've talked about this before, the sort of split, and we're not the only country having this problem, but the split between boomers and working populations that keep pensions afloat, you know, how much longer can a pension like California's or Ontario's or BC's or whatever continue to operate at the level of support they've been giving historically with less and less people giving into the pension? You need commercial real estate to stay expensive so you can borrow against it in situations like this. But as I mentioned here, they're having a problem, right? So they're borrowing against other assets. This is bad. It's like, you know, you can say, and I know a lot of people on Twitter are like doomsayers, but I would just ask, like, any competent person or informed person, is there another example of this happening? And I'm not necessarily saying that I expect there not to be, but if there is, I'd like to see what the outcome was and what forced the borrowing in the first place. Again, I don't know if this has happened before because we didn't have this kind of, you know, media environment 10 years ago, but I'd be curious, you know, have we ever done something like this before? Now, anytime someone does something like this, it's just another tick on the confidence box, right? Like, you're losing more and more faith in the system that you were told is really this golden goose. Maybe not so much, Len. Maybe not so much. How much, like we talked before about how much real estate matters in Canada. I wonder how much the CPPIB is into CRE for over here and how much they could use that CRE portfolio to, you know, get loans if they needed it in a liquidity crunch. I bet you it's their sort of firepower has really gone down the tubes in the last 2 years. I bet you it's going to continue to fall too. So I don't know. Not good. I mean, pensions are a fucking scam. They're a scam. They really are.
Needing money and going to payday
Yeah.
You know, there are people that unfortunately need it, but the reality is if you are relying on it, you're insolvent.
Yeah.
And the same thing here. If they're borrowing just to ensure that they're able to keep things moving, there it's just not, you know, it's time to basically shutter the whole thing and or
you got it.
Change directions. All right. They've drastically changed directions. Buy Bitcoin. The US national debt, Joey, surpassed $34 trillion. That's a monumental number. Just passed it. Yeah. Golf clap. Gotta put this into context, Joey. The closest star, Proxima Centauri, is only 5.8 trillion miles away. Just putting this in perspective, 5.8 trillion miles is the closest star. Yeah. You know how fucking far that is. If one were to stack $1 US dollar bills, stack them 4 trillion times, so $4 trillion, stack that, that gets us to the distance of the moon.
Nice.
34 trillion, right? If I gave you $1 million a day since year zero, you wouldn't even have $1 trillion. You'd have $750 billion. Imagine $1 million per day for 2,000 years plus.
The story of like the billions versus millions, a billion seconds is like 37 years and a trillion seconds is like dinosaurs. So like the difference is just fucking enormous and no one even understands just how big the difference is, how big those numbers are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 34 trillion, none of the numbers I gave you, stacking dollar bills to get to the moon, nor trying to walk to or traveling to the nearest fucking star meets that 34 trillion. It's just a fraction of it. So 34 trillion is fucking huge. Never, ever will this be paid back. Never.
Yeah. Yeah. What else is there to say, really, right? Besides that everyone is going to start to realize this at some point in the not too distant future if they haven't already. I haven't looked at the debt clock recently, but I'm sure that
it passed 34 trillion.
Yeah. I mean, but those other measures, right? Like the unfunded liabilities. Don't forget that 34 trillion doesn't count unfunded liabilities.
Yeah. It's like 100 trillion, give or take.
Yeah. So it's right? Actually like, yeah, triple that. Completely insane. Nor does it count state liabilities, I don't think. There's a number of ways they fudge that number. We do it here too, by the way. But yeah, it's like not a good place. You know, what's the old saying? If you owe the bank $1 million, it's your problem. But if you owe the bank $1 billion, it's their problem. Whose problem is it when it's 100 trillion? Any idea? Is there a line for that? I haven't heard that one yet.
I think it's been our problem for a very long time. Just yeah. Now we're sort of realizing it. Norway, I mean, keeping on clown world, we talked about the bus system in Edmonton. In Norway, they're having a massive cold spell. And in some areas in Norway, it's borderline record-breaking cold. And the cold is so bad in Oslo that, in fact, their electric buses that they purchased are unable to function. Who could have predicted this, that cold weather would do this type of nonsense to electric buses? And many of the buses that were taken out of service, but there are still a few of them that are operating. And guess what they're using to heat them, Joey? Well, diesel electric heaters.
Far from the course. What about the blankets? They got the blankets?
They must have it for the batteries, because somehow the batteries have to stay warm or else it's just gonna, they're not gonna be able to do very much with those buses altogether. So yeah, there's another one. Oslo electric buses just does not work in that environment in extreme cold conditions.
This is not related to buses, but I see here on Twitter there's some buzz. Carrie-Anne, I think her last name is boring. I forget what it is, though. But spot Bitcoin ETF update. SEC just issued additional comments on pending applicants' S-1s. This is a delay signal. So that explains why the price is down by $100.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the buses thing. I mean, how many more people have to freeze on public transit before we realize this is a bad idea? Did you see that video of the – I think it was like some kind of electric vehicle on fire, maybe a bus actually, and the fire department gets there and they can't actually put it out with the stuff they have on the truck because of the nature of the car. They just have to let the thing fucking burn and it's just like black smoke.
Don't you have to use some sort of foam to like,
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I don't know what class of extinguisher you're supposed to use. If I ever have a grease fire in my house, like I'm going to throw water on it and die.
No.
I know, but like, that's probably what I'll do. So like, I just think this, we talk about how like the grid is often ill-prepared and people don't think about the weather, but how about emergency services? You know, do we have the emergency services to deal with huge battery electric fires? Do we have the population, a population that's competent enough to know what to do in the case of a battery fire? Like, I would argue, Len, honestly, these days, no.
What if they got called in? Like, you called it the fire department. They're like, sorry, we can't come. We got 8 more hours to charge up our truck.
I got to charge up the truck. I got to charge the big red.
Could you keep that fire going for a little? Just
hang on. Just hang on. I can't get out of the car because the battery's dead. I got this switchless door. What the fuck is going on around here? I mean, I don't care. It's just funny for us to talk about it. Fine. But ain't gonna be me. My wife and I bought a car last week and picked it up today, actually. I got to tell you, Len, like, I have no interest in buying an electric car. I just don't. And I saw a couple on the lot and I was just like, man, this is just more maintenance, more bullshit, more, you know, you can't go to your neighbor for it. It is. Like,
and it whether, depends. I mean, I can only just go with my friend.
There's no fucking way that a battery operated car is going to last longer than an internal combustion car in Canada. There's no fucking way.
I mean, all I could just base off my friend. Granted, it's a Tesla.
He's got a great car, but like that Tesla is going to break down. It's
zero maintenance. The fucking thing just runs.
But when it breaks down or when that battery goes, you know, it's not $100 to change the oil. It's not.
No, it's tens.
It's not $250 for a sensor. A sensor. It's $40,000 for a battery. I ain't got $40,000 for a battery. I'm not doing that. Are you doing that? Yeah, I know you're not doing it.
No, actually, I just made $40,000 on this show because I invested in S1 investment.
I just got the call from Corey here. Signals, the AI signals. Doing AI signals.
We're good.
Hang on a minute. I'm doing AI signals on my phone.
I leveraged the CBP Bitcoin. So,
Have you leveraged your share in CBP? Your one share?
Everything. So it's now 5 shares.
We should have done, when we incorporated, we should have done 50,000 shares each. We can just give one to people for Christmas. Like, here's one share. Like Costanza, the People Fund or whatever, made a donation in your name.
Voting rights.
Joey, the board's issuing another 50,000 this year. You're being deluded, sir.
We should do that. Anyways, Canada, we should go to Clown World North because Canada's food inflation problem, it's going to become even more of a problem for people because the Canada's food price report, which is something that comes from Dalhousie University, the University of British Columbia.
Sylvain Charlebois, your boy.
He's part of it, yeah. But it's not just him. But also the University of Guelph, University of Saskatchewan. So I saw Jaime is in the chat there. So yeah, we got one of local schools over there. They're making a prediction that food costs are going to increase in 2024 somewhere between a range of 2.5 and 4.5%. And what does this really mean? Well, for a family of four, they're going to have to dish out an extra $700 for food this year compared to last year, if this prediction holds true. And you have to ask yourself, a family of four, given what's going on with the high cost of everything, do they have an extra $700 that they can spend this year to cover the added food cost? And I'm predicting that food banks, already probably stretched to its limits and beyond, are going to be even more relied upon moving forward. But if you think about this, I mean, it's not all bad because there's some good news in all this, right? Because those pulling the strings, they're trying to increase competition in Canada, thereby creating more opportunities to lower price. How are they doing this? Well, our federal industry minister, François-Philippe Champagne, he's out there pounding the pavement as we speak, trying to bring in international grocery chains into Canada. But unfortunately, nobody seems to be ready to take the
plunge. Why is that, Len? How come they're not coming? What's the?
I suppose because they're looking at recent failures. Like, there's Target, Nordstrom, come to mind, a few others, Bed Bath & Beyond. But also the environment, the grocery environment, Joey. Like, Bill C-56.
Here we go.
Right? The Affordable Housing and Groceries Act. This gave the Competition Bureau the ability to investigate and take enforcement action on unfair behavior in the grocery sector, such as price fixing, gouging, and so forth. And let's not forget the time when they brought all those grocery CEOs to answer calls for questions by a parliamentary committee about the higher prices and the constant narrative that CEOs are making bank. So given this whole environment and the narrative that's being pushed by certain people, I can understand it's hard to lure in a company to come in, set up business in Canada when you're just going to be subjected to this type of ridicule. So unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be possible or it's going to be a very difficult task to try to bring more companies in here to deal with the higher cost of food just a reality. If it's me and I had the ability to come into Canada and set up shop, I would consider probably not. But you know what? Maybe somebody else might look at it differently than I do. But at least we have the people out there trying to do what they can. They're out there talking to the good stuff and saying, look, it's a good place to set up a shop, work in Canada, but we'll see if it actually really turns out to be that they will actually move here.
Taylor in the chat, employer said inflation is 4% and raised us the same. So I'm good on the foodflation, I guess. I guess you're good if all you eat is Golden Grahams and Pop-Tarts. Probably okay at 4%. Maybe those things go up by 4%. But if you eat like meat, vegetables, anything with plastic, once they put this plastic registry in,
Oh, we'll talk about that. Don't worry. We will talk about that.
Just compounded by this. So they got like, you know, the carbon tax is going up three times this year. Who's eating that cost, right? No pun intended on the eating the cost thing, but it sure as shit ain't going to be manufacturers or transport companies. It's going to be you. Plastic registry. Who's going to note every time that, you know, the meat packing plant uses cellophane to send you something at the store? I don't know. You're going to be buying your meat in a paper bag pretty soon if these guys have their way. I mean, Len, does anyone really think, I know that Dal's trying to, you know, do work that is palatable for people because I think they're trying to build their public profile, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But they got to make it clear that, you know, the problem is that 4% is, you know, only if you're eating sort of, you know, trough slop. If you're eating decent food, that number's going to be what, 8, you think? 9? I don't know. It's like 10%. It's like between 7 and 10% in a good year for pre-COVID, pre-stimulus, pre-all that stuff. Since then, it's through the roof. I think a bag of milk now. So what's in Canada here for our American listeners? I know we have a bunch of you guys. How many liters of milk do you get in a regular bag? Not in all three, but in each individual bag. Is it a liter and a half, liter and a quarter, something like that?
Sounds right.
So you get maybe 4 liters of milk for...
But for American friends, they want it in quarts, don't they?
Yeah, so 3 quarts of milk for like, it's like almost $8. If you get the True Taste milk, then the Nielsen True Taste milk, it's like more than $9 unless you get it on sale. I went to buy a thing of chocolate milk the other day because I've been watching Sam Sulek videos on YouTube. And my wife's like, we're not buying that. I'm like, what do you mean? It's chocolate milk. She goes, it's $5. I'm like, what?
I go, that's back for to a small one, right?
It was for, it's for the liter and a half. It's like for the liter, fucking $5. I mean, it was like $3 last time I bought one. Now it's $5. Like what happened? I mean, what are we talking about here? And by the way, there's not even any plastic in that product, right? That's just a cardboard box of milk. It's going to get worse.
Bags of milk too is very Canadian.
Canadian. I know. I still remember playing Canusa basketball and having the kids from Flint come by the house or whatever, like every year, always amazed. Why do you guys have milk in bags? I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I'm 11. I don't know anything. But yeah, anyway, to this stuff about inflation. I mean, you don't think the number's 4%. I take it. I'm not alone in that.
I don't think it's 4%.
No.
If they're raising, what is it, property taxes like 30, 40% in some
places? What's Toronto? Toronto
significant.
I just saw it on my homepage here. Well,
if that's what they're doing.
That's all right. Toronto has money to give donuts to protesters shutting down streets. Maybe they can take some fucking money out of the donut budget, save the people of Toronto on their fucking property tax.
The person, I don't want to say manning it because it's not a man that's manning, but the person administering that Twitter account, they had to remove that tweet.
Stop.
It's true.
Wow. Oh my God.
Down. Yeah, because I'm guessing I could be wrong. I don't want to put word in anybody's mouth here, but I think it's because they were getting a lot of flack from it. So that's
jeez,
man. But either way, it's no longer there. So let that speak for itself and you can figure out why. You touched upon it. Canada, federal government is going to be launching. They have launched actually consultation on a national.
How many registries are we going to get before we figure out how many permanent residents come into the country? Like we're literally registering a million other things, but not the million people that are coming in to try and get PR.
You got to consult the registries register. From that, you can figure out how many registries we have from
We just got to ask Conestoga. Conestoga knows how many PRs are coming in, how many attempts are coming in.
Just look at the applications that have been approved.
The comments on the reels from that show with Tom and Nick, they're hilarious. The number of people simping for Conestoga. I said that last week too. But anyway, go ahead. Let's talk about the plastics registry. Can't wait.
Yeah. So
what are the details of this program?
I'll be very brief because the registry is going to track the life cycle of plastic items in the economy and thereby helping the government produce less plastic waste. And province and territories right now already have some similar programs, but the data collection is what they claim is inconsistent. And as a result, they claim that a national registry would help to standardize data collection. Consultation is open right now, and the registry closes on February 13th, 2024, for just a little bit over a month. So if you want to submit your two cents, you're able to do so up until February 13th. I'd love to hear some of the comments.
Yeah, you have to submit. It's closer to 4 cents now. You have to submit.
Inflation. Holy fuck. So there you go.
Glenn, what are we doing, man? What are we doing? What? Think about the number of things. Let's think about this for a sec. I want you to close your eyes, okay? Picture you're in the grocery store. You walk in. There's a woman at the till. She greets you. She's way too old to be working, but she has to keep working because she can't pay her mortgage. You walk past her. You go to get your shopping cart. It's dented and broken. The fucking equipment in the store doesn't work. The wheel's barely on. You start driving it to the meat section. You get there. They got meat-free meat, regular meat, and then also plastic packaging-free meat. In this future, Len, which meat is more expensive, the meat-free meat or the plastic packaging-free meat?
I'm guessing anything that's not meat is going to be more expensive. So the meat-free meat.
So you got, like, you go to the store, and like you basically have like all kinds of, it's just like, what? There's kinder words I could use here, but like, I really have a hard time pulling them from, you know, the catacombs of my brain, because they just are not deserved. You know, like, why are we talking about doing a plastics registry for grocers? Who's asking for this? If people want to save money and save the environment, let them make the decision at the till. If they don't want to do it, then they don't do it. And if they don't want to do it, then you don't do it either. That's the point of a representative democracy. You don't just get in and go free for all on everyone's pocketbooks at every turn for every pet cause because it looks good in headlines. And by the way, it doesn't look good in headlines. We're seeing this more and more. Nobody wants this. We're too docile in this country. We need an election. You know, like, I'm not saying Polyev is going to fix everything, but my God, like, how much more can people take of this?
There's going to be no election this year.
You always say that. I know, you always say that. And the consultation, like what the fuck are we doing with the consultation period? What? Anyone who's paid any attention over the last few years knows that consultation period means that the job is done. Okay. The program is ready to roll out. There's not going to be any changes. Blacklocks today, by the way, I didn't tag you in this. I tagged friend of the show, Keith Dicker, because he's a big CBDC, anti-CBDC proponent, I should say.
I've seen that. And they're talking about the registration of the name or something like that.
They're moving forward with it. They are moving forward with it. You saw the consultation was negative. No Canadians want it. They talked about how no Canadians want it. And what did they do? They registered the fucking name. They don't care. No one cares. And so when people ask, like, to close the loop on this a little bit with Bitcoin, okay, since this is a Bitcoin show after all. When people ask, why do you buy Bitcoin? It's expensive. Don't you need the money? You have to be rich to buy Bitcoin. Look at the way your grocery bill would have treated you over the last 4 years if you had denominated your savings in Bitcoin. Everything's getting more expensive. Your money's getting devalued. And yet you're spending less of your Bitcoin on your fake or real plastic or non-plastic packaging meat at the store. Meanwhile, everyone else is spending more and having a harder time getting the money and having a harder time saving the money, having to work more for the money, work more to eat the same stuff. You're doing less. The fiat games all end the same way with forced, I was going to say forced pegging, but this is a family show, forced currency pegs and value pegs to try and keep people from realizing how fucked things are. starting to see that already. Price controls are popping up all over the modern world. Forced savings, pensions, homes, giving you this illusion of wealth, the wealth effect, to keep you spending, even though you shouldn't. Seeing that in Canada more than other places. Fake, you know, ideas around pensions and supports, social supports, and the idea that things you don't pay for at the time you receive them are free, even though they're not. More and more people finding that now in Canada, by the way. This is just another checkpoint. You know, this idea that we got to take on all these causes that are outside of the scope of things that actually matter because they're viewed as low-hanging fruit. We're making a difference. No, you're fucking not. Everyone can see the global, you know, GHG numbers, the global pollution numbers, the global litter numbers, right? How many years did we, you know, talk about going to climate conferences and, you know, COPs and whatever, talking about we're going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions? We're less than 1% of the total emissions. It simply does not matter what we do. So you have to ask yourself one question. Would you rather be poor, trying to make a difference, you know, scooping out the hole in the Titanic with a tablespoon? Or would you rather do what you can, eat well, do the things that make you happy, try and protect your wealth with something like Bitcoin instead of playing in this dumb sandbox? I think more and more people are realizing the sandbox is dumb. This is like, it's gone completely out of control now. And everyone knows it. And that's why I think, you know, when you talk about the election thing, I don't know if there'll be an election in 2024. Maybe there will be, maybe there won't be. I have no fucking idea, honestly. But in 25, there's going to be one. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a landslide. I also think that people are going to be severely disappointed with how little things change because the party is over already. And, you know, you may get back your carbon taxes on your car, you know, that 30 cents a liter or whatever it is, but it won't matter because gas is going to be $110 a barrel. You may get back the money that you may get back the plastic bag in the grocery store and you and your buddies can fist bump in the parking lot while you're taking your quarters out of the cart, but it won't matter because the meat's going to be 20% more expensive. The problem isn't with all these little low hanging fruit things. The problem is the money. Whether you're an environmentalist, feminist, socialist, communist, whatever, the problem is the money. Fix that and you fix a lot of other stuff. But nobody wants to fix that because it takes away the levers of power that they rely on so heavily. Bitcoin's important for this reason. You find that when you have Bitcoin in your pocket, you don't care as much about the way that things are turning down, right? Instead of going into a doom loop, you start a podcast and talk about the same shit, except you call it Clown World and laugh about it with 40, 45, 50 of your closest friends online every Monday night. It's a lot better when you have a bright outlook, but not everyone has it yet. But the closer they get, the more they hear this kind of nonsense, the more they'll be inclined to think about what, you know, enjoying Clown World might be like, right? Enjoying the decline of the empire as opposed to worrying about how it's going to affect them.
And fire up the Genesis and play some NHL 94.
I love that Miyu Mini I got. I was playing it earlier today. I fucking love it. Pokemon Unbound, like these fan-made ROMs, it's a whole new world. I got completely psyoped by the YouTube algorithm like 3 weeks ago, and now I'm fucking hooked. I'm so close to just like shutting all the other games in my life down, just like playing this, you know, while I listen to podcasts instead. Probably better time better spent. But anyway, story for another time. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, how much more can people take? Like, what, you know, pretty soon too. Don't forget, remember in Ontario, the province wanted to put stickers on every gas pump about how much more the carbon tax would cost and they weren't allowed, right? It was a voluntary program by the gas stations. When are grocery stores going to start doing the same thing?
If they're always being vilified, it's
how much exactly? How much more can Galen take? Like, is it going to be a mob of people showing up at the Westin residence and he's just like, fuck it, enough's enough. Print the signs, print the shirts, put them on every staff member, yeah. Put them in every checkout. And then what, right? The data and the evidence is all clear and it's all one-sided, right? Everyone who's paying attention knows this. And even Deleuze University, who, you know, Charlebois, I know he's not your favorite because he won't come on the show, but, you know, even they will say that, yeah, prices are going up like crazy, but people who say that it's gouging are wrong. The margins, op and like the operational margins and the overall profit margins of grocery stores have stayed more or less the same since 2018. So the prices may be higher, but the margins are the same. That's an indicator that the problem is with government, with policy, with tax, with different levies, with all kinds of stuff, right? And people, I think it's easy to point to corporations. A lot of people are still in that mode, but again, like the data is there. It just takes, you know, one or two watershed moments for the average person to go like, oh, fuck, wait a minute. This is the same as it was 5 years ago. What else changed? Oh, yeah, the carbon tax. Oh, yeah, that's right. My house is more expensive to heat. Oh, yeah, the gas is more expensive at the pump. Oh, yeah, if my gas is more expensive, the guy delivering the lettuce, his gas is more expensive. Like, it's not that hard, right? It's a five-minute conversation where 5 years ago, you wouldn't even know where to start it. But we're getting there. We're getting there. That's a positive.
That's the accelerate.
Yeah.
That is the accelerate.
That's right.
Last story then, the employment numbers in Canada came in for the month of December. And unemployment for December stands, at least nationally, 5.8%. But you got to break this down further. And we talked about this earlier with the U.S. side of things. There's a lot of similarities over here because in Canada for the month of December, 23,000 jobs were lost. Yeah. Full-time jobs were lost. And 23,000 part-time jobs were gained. So in all, it's about 100 jobs net gained for the month of December. But unfortunately, it's at the expense of full-time employment. Yeah, this is too bad. There's a lot more people out there. They're doing other types of things, like they're driving around Uber and shit like that. And yeah, so in fact, it's saying that 407,000 Canadians are now self-employed. 407,000.
What does self-employed mean?
Well, they're doing stuff Uber? Like ride shares,
yeah,
or
yeah.
ride sharing delivery. That's up 25% year over year. And of that, the landed immigrants make up 60% of this workforce.
How is that fair, by the way, to immigrants, right? Like we rag on Conestoga here, but they're being sold a false bill of goods. Ritesh Jain, friend of the show, about a year and a half ago came on and we had a long conversation about the false bill of goods that immigrants are being sold about Canada and the quality of life that was possible if you were just willing to come and work. Who's going to pay for that? Like, what are we supposed to do with these guys now? What are they supposed to do for themselves? It's expensive to travel halfway around the world to, you know, a country where you're not able to provide for your family unless you work quite literally 20 hours a day.
Stay away from the beaches.
I guess. Yeah, I heard. Fuck. There goes demonetized. There we go.
No, I didn't say why.
Everyone fucking knows. Anyway,
no, people are.
We all saw the story. If you haven't seen the story, you should go.
That's
it's on Reddit.
That's it, Joey. We're done with this episode. I hope everybody enjoyed.
Man, shout out to the fucking crowd here, man. There's like 50 people in here at one time. There's still about 40 of you guys left. So,
no, that's huge. All. That's for the totality. It's just for YouTube. It's around 30-ish.
Okay. We can see the whole thing, and they can see. Oh, I see that now in the. Yeah, you sent me a message about that.
Yeah,
okay.
So that the cool. Number is it's totality. But anyway, it was still a very vibrant crowd. So thank you very much for joining us for another Monday rip. And this was very close to being 100% Clown World. You know, up until like Thursday, Friday last week, I didn't have very much in the Bitcoin side of things. And it was going to be just 100% Clown World.
But probably do it. Like everyone's just waiting for the ETF to happen or not happen, right? I think a lot of people are just waiting with bated breath now. So... not much else to say, except for this, you know, Scamps and Mao Aqua wallet floating around.
Whatever. Let's just leave it at that, Joey.
God bless, guys. Come back Wednesday. Cole and another gentleman whose name I still don't remember from CoinOS will be coming on. I'm looking forward to talking to them. Cole, I met Cole at the conference. He's a good guy. And CoinOS has been growing in popularity. And I see one of you guys brought them up in the chat here tonight. So I think I'll be talking to them for probably 45 minutes or an hour on Wednesday while two dogs tear apart the upper floor of my house. So look forward to that. We'll see you then. Until then, take care of yourselves, pals.
Yeah, don't be a cock.
Well done. Don't forget, everybody, lots of other stuff on CBP Media Network, including Two Whites and a Blue, me, Joey, my brother-in-law, Mike, and our friend Will talk about all the problems millennials are having with finance, romance, and just getting by. If you'd like CBP, if you like the NHL 94 podcast, I guarantee you'll like that one. Search for it, Two Whites and a Blue, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we look forward to seeing you.